Mr. McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we have staff coming forward, and I know we have a motion left over from yesterday, I wanted just to maybe try to paint the landscape of what we're about ready to do to see if there are some other things commissioners might want to bring up and to ask the staff if I'm leaving anything out here. I see that we have a supplemental budget request for a minor amount for fire suppression that we have to ask the legislature for some more money right now to finish the year with. That's at least one little thing. There's these planned reductions that we have a slide on that Commissioner Graybill has a motion that was tabled from yesterday that gets to what is the package to maintain things at status quo levels. Then there's the question of enhancement packages. And as he indicated yesterday, I was inclined to make a motion for a hatchery enhancement package, and I do have a motion when that comes up for the commission to entertain. We're supposed to make a motion on the long-term funding plan and approve that. There is the matter of legislation, which gets into the fishing and hunting license increase questions. And if there is anything at the very end, if there's anything particularly in the enhancement category that requires us to go back to the capital request, that was left hanging. So that puts at least several motions out there that we would be looking to consider, and I didn't know if there were other commissioners who want to add to that, if I've left something out, or a question to staff if I've left something out, just so I can get a measure of the universe before we get started.
Today, do you have a comment?
Good afternoon, Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioners, and Director. My name is Nate Pamplin. I'm the Policy Director and joined today by
Raquel Crozier, the Legislative Director.
And I just have 70 slides to review this afternoon. No, we won't repeat. Commissioner McIsaac, thank you for summarizing where we're at. I don't have any other hanging chads that we need to address. I think you covered them all. One thing that we may want to do, or if the commission chooses, is I think there's a few items that we could perhaps take off the table right away, and then I would suggest that the commission make a motion on that. I could help write that up, or I can point out a couple areas for consideration, but I look to the vice chair for.
No, that's fine. What's the easiest way for you?
I think that the second supplemental for 2019, I think the long-term funding plan, and I think three of the four bills that we presented are, I didn't hear a lot of additional commission discussion yesterday. So I would recommend that there's a motion that's made that addresses those items.
In one sweep.
Okay. Mr. Baker, and then for you.
I would support that if I can make a comment on the long-term funding plan. And it doesn't change anything because I'll support it, but I would like to make a comment.
It's a motion, too.
Okay. Commissioner Thorburn and then Commissioner McIsaac. Go ahead. I don't care.
Well, I was going to say a similar thing. I guess there are a few things in the long-term funding plan that we might want to discuss, and then I wasn't sure which of the three bills you meant.
Just to jump in, the three are the recruitment, retention, and reactivation bill, the Columbia River Salmon and Steelhead endorsement extension, and the ADA statute cleanup and extension of the discounts.
Okay.
Those are the three easier ones.
Mr. Thorburn.
So what we're talking about is we'll make the motion, and if there's a second, then we can have the discussion. So that's what I will do. I would move to approve the 2019 second supplemental operating budget request, the long-term funding plan, the department request bills, including the 3R, the disability improvements, and the Columbia River endorsement stamp bills.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Mr. Baker.
Starting to sound like a broken record here, but this is a repeat of a comment that I made at the most recent BPAG meeting. The thing that I would like to see is in more general fund money, and to get there, we're going to have to not educate, but at least inform the general citizenry that we're working for them and us. So what I'd like to see as we go through all of this, everything we've done in the last 2 days and everything everybody else is doing, you know, all 1,500 employees, is sort of a focus on the elevator speech, on the little thing that we're doing. By God, we've listened, and we are working for you. Many times I see that policymakers at whatever level are lag behind the people they represent. And so I don't think we have to explain to people that we care about them and natural resources are important, and we know that. But I do think we need to make the point. So on this long-term funding plan, the one thing I pointed out at the BPAG meeting was even the executive summary is long. And I'd like to see a context for that, either on the bottom of the table of contents or on the front on this very nice picture of the guy clam digging, somewhere a little thing that we put this in perspective, because I think that's what the legislature's looking for, actually, is a bit of a change of course for us. And so that's what I would like to see. I don't have any problem at all with the contents of this thing. Then, as long as I've got the mic, the other thing that I wanted to note for my colleagues is the, I don't think that we've seen it yet, but the people that Nate and to some extent Raquel have been working with on the BPAG have an unprecedented level of togetherness, and they have crafted a letter, which most of them are going to sign and send out far and wide, at least to the policymakers, at least the people who are writing the budget, the leadership of our committees. And that letter will go a long way toward reducing the other thing that I'm a broken record about, which is the conflict, which has, I believe, been a significant inhibitor for us in the legislative process. The same people that Nate assembled to sit around that table are much more accustomed to going over across the up the street now and arguing with each other and fighting and putting Fish and Wildlife in a really bad spot. And they've seen the light. And I think that letter will be incredible. They're discussing timing and when and to whom, all of that. I'm looking forward to getting a copy of it. So good work on that.
Can I just add something about the letter? So I have seen a draft of the letter, and one of the things that they, I think, want to do is be very clear that this is not coming from the official BPAG, but this is coming from this diverse group of stakeholders representing their communities, it's really separate from all the work they've done on this long-term plan. This is their statement of really believing in this relevancy and importance.
It's kind of a grassroots approach.
Yeah.
Okay, Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman, and I would agree with the comments earlier. And we're very lucky to have Commissioner Baker's expertise on how to help work this through the legislature. I do think it's very important to have a letter from the constituents that is with us as opposed to fighting against us. I do have some concerns about the long-term funding plan, which was asked for by the legislature, in terms of the substance of it. When I look at the 7 funding recommendations, increase the amount and stability of funding. You know, everybody wants that. More funding should come from broad-based sources. Ensure stability. Ensure the partners pay their fair share. Improve products. All of those are good, solid things, but if I was hoping that we had a long-term funding plan that is going to make me feel so much better about our prospects in the long run because of some real strong changes that we're proposing, I frankly don't see them in here. And so I've heard the idea of what has happened in California with regard to this petition business. And we heard some talk that we can't do that right now. I'm not going to propose we do. And I'm not sure what all the obstacles are, but I thought that was a very good idea. If there was something like moving forward with a petition 2 years from now, I would feel better than some of these, and I don't want to say negative things about these recommendations, but in terms of, you know, a financial plan that makes me feel good, our income will be better in the long term. I don't know that I see something in here that makes me sleep better at night because of that. Now, I don't have any additions, and so I'm not going to vote no on the motion just because of that, because I don't have a suggestion other than this, you know, petition idea to put out there. You know, maybe there could be some bridge funding over the course of this next biennium so we can prepare for a petition. I'm not even sure legally if we're allowed to do that. All the entanglements and the rest of it, we don't have time to get into. On the three bills that are there, the Columbia River endorsement going permanent is one that I do have some concerns about in terms of just having all of these endorsements and stamps and kickers that are complicated. And if there was a way to get a license situation that didn't have so many of those things. I mean, I know we need one for halibut so that we can get a count of the true number of anglers. But if there was a different way of approaching that than to have a permanent endorsement just for the Columbia River, and I'm not sure what happened to the Puget Sound endorsement, and we've got crab endorsements, and, you know, I don't know if the commercial fisheries that Bob has to deal with have more endorsements now than the sport fishery does. And so simplicity is something to strive for. Again, that's not quite enough for me to vote no on this motion, but when we get around to talking about the license things, if something emerges there that is simpler and everybody's more comfortable with and more endorsements, you know, I'm just not a big fan of all the complexity that's involved in that. And making an endorsement permanent, I know I can probably get advice that nothing is really that permanent in the world of the legislature. But anyway, those are my concerns, but I'm not going to vote no on the motion.
Mr. Baker?
Normally we don't do a back and forth, but I do have a response to that, to your concern about the you're calling it a petition. In California, it was a referendum, excess of $4 billion. I was at several BPAG meetings where those kind of concepts were discussed, and they were not jettisoned, which is a good thing. But my there are several other things that some of us are working on in the background to begin to do the work to get us to a point where there can be public acceptance of something like that. And I certainly don't know how the nine of us feel about it, but I do know for sure that those things take time. And the last thing you want to do is scare the crap out of everybody by, by going too fast, too far. This in itself is, in my mind, a major accomplishment. And that letter is a major accomplishment. I've heard the governor's putting together a natural resources subcabinet. I haven't seen the agenda yet, but I think that would be a major accomplishment if we had our natural resources agencies sitting at the table discussing these things in concert instead of factionalizing it the way it is now. And I've also heard that the Wildermuth Foundation is interested in reinstituting the Leaders Forum that took place a couple of years ago, where 50 really good organizations got together on their own, not at our inception, and started talking about this stuff. So all of those are, that's all heading in the right direction. So I think we might be shooting, I'm actually my opinion is that we would be shooting ourselves in the foot to get out too far ahead. So,
Mr. Thorburn.
Yeah, I just am going to agree with Commissioner Baker. They may seem kind of soft, are the funding recommendations on the face of them. They're pretty dramatic change, actually, in terms of how we frame. And I agree. I think we could get too far out ahead. I think this is really substantial as it is. And I'm just very thankful for all the work that staff and BPAC have put into it.
Commissioner Graybill.
I tend to agree with Mr. McIsaac about, you know, where's the beef on the long-term plan. But at the same time, in the back of my mind, I was wondering, I wonder how Barbara, Commissioner Baker, thinks about putting real teeth in or laying or painting a too clear of a picture of what we intend, that it might, you know, kind of frighten the legislature about what we might have planned or up our sleeves. So I appreciate your comments and Commissioner Thornburg's comments on that, because we do have to proceed cautiously. And we don't want to do a back and forth here at this time either, but I would like to have the opportunity to allay your fears about the endorsement programs that you object to, and I think I can answer that one for you so you'll have more confidence in it. So I think we could probably proceed now to a vote.
Oh, you're done.
Very good. I'm done.
Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same. Motion carries.
So then, Mr. Vice Chair, if I could, I think that the next step would be probably talking about the operating budget proposals and if there was any changes to content. Yesterday, there was a number of commissioners raising concerns that the Natchez hatchery is on one list, and there may be a motion to move it on to essentially incorporate it within the maintain fisheries decision package.
Yes. That essentially is my motion to move the Natchez hatchery to the maintain fishing and hatchery production item. And so it would be included under the salmon and trout production list that includes the Whitehorse, Bingham Creek, Hump Tulips, Reeder Ponds, Meesburg Hatchery, Chelan Hatchery, Omak Hatchery, and now Natchez Hatchery would be in that category. That's essentially my motion. We've talked about this, so.
Okay, we have a motion and a second regarding the Natchez Hatcheries. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I think the maker of the motion did an eloquent job yesterday of explaining the motion, which I would support on its surface. But I would like to amend the motion, and if I get a second, I could explain it. And I would ask staff to bring up slide number 23.
I've got a different PowerPoint just so I thinned it out just so that
Uh-oh.
We have a few slides. What's the title of the slide?
That is the planned reductions for this fiscal year. It's a slide that has the Natchez Hatchery and several of them. Okay. So I would make a motion to amend the motion to include $2.4 million into the maintenance budget. If I get a chance to explain the motion, I'll talk about which of these and why I would move that in the entirety, the $2.4 million that have been identified for reduction be included in the maintenance budget. So, again, let me try to state my motion.
We have a motion.
I don't have it in writing, so let me try to say it again.
Okay.
So I would move that. Amend the motion for just the Natchez Hatchery to be included in the maintenance motion for the entirety of the $2.4 million has been shown as reductions for this fiscal year to be placed in the maintenance part of the budget.
So, can I, Mr. Vice Chair, do you mind if I just speak to try to understand the nature of the motion?
I wonder if that's necessary. Is anybody going to second it?
It takes a second for discussion.
We have a motion by Commissioner McIsaac. Do we have a second?
I will second the motion for purposes of discussion.
And maybe if I can explain it and you can hold your question, maybe this would get to it. So this gets to a question of the maintenance part of the budget being characterized as status quo to the recent year. It's not necessarily status quo for some of the previous bienniums. I respect the fact that the staff has been looking at efficiencies. The proviso talks about trying to do a performance assessment that, in other words, could be looking for efficiencies and eliminate waste. And I think the department does a very good job of looking for efficiencies and eliminating waste, and have been all the time. When I look at ceased triploid trout purchases, I don't consider that necessarily an efficiency. I consider that a cut from status quo. When I look at habitat monitoring and restoration reductions, I'm not sure if that's an efficiency. I think it's possible that some of that at least would be status quo. Reducing volunteer grant assistance, I'm not sure if that's an efficiency. That might be a reduction from status quo. I think less paper production of the pamphlet is an efficiency, and the IT efficiencies probably are efficiencies. But in the matrix report, there was some recommendations that the department needed to do a little bit more, particularly in the area of enhancing education, public outreach, and transparency. And so I think whatever money there is to be saved in these efficiencies, like reducing the paper pamphlet, can fall into the category of a status quo, a more generalized definition of status quo. And so the thrust of the idea here is to say that status quo is not necessarily just the $30.5 million of things that are at risk in the maintenance program. It is actually $2.4 million more than that. Our status quo would be defined as $32.9 million and include all of this $2.4 million, rather than say there are going to be some cuts before we even get to preserving status quo. And again, I go back to some of the bar graphs where I look at status quo back in the old days in the 07-09 biennium. Given the cost of living changes since then, our status quo proposal as it stands now, which I'd be willing to support straight up, does not get us to status quo if you calibrate it back that far. So that's my rationale here, is that all of these reductions, including some things that are just pure efficiencies, be lumped into the category of status quo that would then raise the maintenance category to $32.9 million.
Mr. Thorburn.
I cannot support the proposed amendment for the following reasons. I've listened to staff explain this. At least the IT efficiencies, the habitat monitoring and restoration reduction, and the reduced fish pamphlet production and staff training program fund are true efficiencies. The ALEA shift might be also fall into that category, and I'm afraid that it could be taken as a lack of transparency for us to take efficiencies and say we're going to still hold on to the money is because we've got these other things to do. I think that was done by developing the maintenance and then the enhanced, and that this is sort of, we've talked about how different this kind of budget presentation is, but this is a somewhat standard expectation, I think, of making budgets. You go through with your carry forward, you comb through, you try to find efficiencies, and you know, that's going to be built into the carry forward request. So I see that as what we're doing here, maybe minus, as you point out, the triploid trout, but there are true efficiencies in here. So I would prefer that we stick with deciding what we think are true efficiencies and leaving those in as proposed reductions, and moving forward with the way that it has been developed as the maintenance and enhance, because I just think that's being very transparent. That's what we're trying to do with our really complicated budget, with all sorts of funding sources, is trying to really get out for our public as well as our legislators and decision makers what this is all about and what we're doing and what we're asking for.
We have a motion and a second on an amendment to...
Joe Storr has something to say.
Joe, I'm sorry.
Maybe this will help, maybe not, but just some clarity about why we have this list of reductions. And, you know, perhaps we haven't been clear with the term status quo, efficiency reductions, et cetera. But what we were trying to do was, you know, we're anticipating going forward with a $60-plus million ask in a time when Mr. Schumacher, who's the head of OFM, has said there's not a lot of general fund to be had. You know, don't ask big in a time where a lot of agencies are trying to overcome the general fund impacts and funding impacts of the last 10 years. So we wanted to be able to say we went through the matrix review and we're implementing those efficiencies and those ideas in terms of management improvements. And we looked at ourselves again hard and came up with these ideas, a couple million dollars worth, of things that we could reduce or do in some other way, and hoping that, you know, that continuous sort of belt tightening, introspection, you know, looking at how we're doing things would help us in our argument as to why we really need the $30 million plus the enhanced piece. So just, you know, maybe we didn't explain it as well as we could have or whatever, but we wanted to try and set ourselves up with the legislature and with the governor's office to show we're being as frugal as we can be.
Thank you, Joe. Commissioner Kehoe.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I think Commissioner McIsaac makes some very good points, and however, I will not be voting in favor of the amendment. I think Joe's explanation was kind of my gut feeling, is that this is one of the things that we were tasked with in the budget proviso. And if we don't come back with any reductions, I think that sends the wrong message. And I agree with Commissioner Thorburn, is that, you know, we need to be very transparent here. And also we need to show that we've taken the legislature's mandate to us seriously, and we've done it. Not to say, and I don't disagree with Mr. Commissioner McIsaac at all about, you know, this is arguably maybe this is the status, current status funding, but I just think that would send the wrong message if we were not to go forward with any reductions for efficiencies.
Mr. Baker.
So I'm of two minds on this. I don't believe once we take out the Natchez hatchery out of the 2.4 and we're going in with our $60 million plus request, that there's going to be a lot of whatever good favor, because we're able to wring $1 million out of the budget. But if there are true efficiencies here where we aren't deviating from our mission, or where we are being, I mean, IT efficiencies, I think the way you explained it, they're just easy. It's done. I'm a little concerned about habitat monitoring and restoration. So I think what we're doing now is going through each one of these and saying, what are we giving up? I don't believe in making cuts just because we want to look good. I know that's a thing that everybody tries to do. But if we need to make cuts, we should make cuts because we need to make cuts, or because we found efficiencies. I think the legislature is going to be surprised at the size of our package. And the only thing that I can think about that is that usually you aim high and you negotiate somewhere in between. The only time that doesn't happen in my history there was whatever the issue du jour was. And it would come, you know, if some DSHS had to deal with some little kid getting killed or some horrible thing like that, that's where the money would go. Medical malpractice, that's where the money goes. This year, people are focused on us and what we're doing. And so I think we go high and we take our chances and we see who knows what's going to happen. But I just want to be sure that these are really things that you guys think we should cut, and not and not just doing it for the sake of doing it. And then the last part of that is that, boy, I tell you what, these hatcheries, I had members calling me that I haven't heard from in 2 years, including like John McCoy, who's from Tulalip.
Yeah.
What the heck is he involved in this on? And everybody's tearing their hair out. So, and Senator King this morning, I had to be careful not to say anything, but my request back to him is, can you please help us over there? So so that's my point. I don't know how I'll vote, but I want to make sure we're not just doing it because we feel like we need to make a good showing.
Commissioner McIsaac, then Nate, please.
Yes, just a couple things as we do the dialogue, which I think is a good, healthy exercise for us all to do. First, on the matter of being open and transparent, I think this proposal that's being entertained right now is open and transparent. I'm not trying to hide anything here. If the word transparency is out there as this not being a transparent process to consider this, I don't quite understand that. This is a significant policy decision. I don't want to demean at all the staff effort to go look for efficiencies. They've done that. They've done a nice job at it. I respect the EMT wrestling with this. Over the course of the next biennium, I presume the staff will be wrestling with more efficiencies. And when they come up, I congratulate all of them. However, spending the efficiencies as a cut has the practical matter of reducing your status quo. We can have a status quo of 32.9, and we can have a status quo of 30. What is status quo? We keep hearing from people, you need more general fund money. You need more money to do this and that. And I'll separate this from the enhancement part, just the maintenance part. If you're maintaining status quo, you know, the lower number you come out of here with is probably what you're going to get. So it kind of speaks to Commissioner Baker's part. I don't feel like we ought to be ashamed at all of saying status quo is a little bit of an elusive definition. And if you peg it this way or that way, you could actually get it even lower if you wanted to. But I think that despite the fact that there are folks in charge of corralling all the state budgets that are asking all the state agencies to come in as low as they can and squeeze, that's been the case for time immemorial almost. And that's their job, and they're doing it. Our job here at this table from a policy perspective is to try to do what we think is right for the department's budget. And so when we get to the enhancement part, I'm also not going to shy away from any direction to go small on that either. And on this one, some of this stuff that could fit into a category of status quo, I'm comfortable with making the policy judgment in my mind that that is a legitimate thing to ask for. And I don't want to also say that for someone who has a different opinion, as we've heard here, I don't want to speak negatively about that. Everyone here is entitled to their opinion, and it's a good, healthy discussion to have, and however the vote comes out is however it is. But I believe, and that's why I put the motion forward, that these efficiencies, and I'm not sure how many there are and what they are on the fringes of a status quo definition, and coming in with the lower number and defining efficiencies as a cut is not something that I'm comfortable with.
Nate, and then I'm going to make one brief comment, and then I'm going to call for the question on this amendment.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. What I want to do now is just maybe walk through some of the technical aspects of the motion and some of the line items that are on this slide, if that would help inform the commission. I also just want to acknowledge that we were not proposing cuts just to make cuts. This was trying to come up with a strategy, knowing that we had, as I went through some of the alternatives, and you look at what's in the maintained services of our performance level ask of wildlife conflict specialists, enforcement officers. These were incredibly tough choices, and we're trying to preserve as much as we can of those critical services. And so these were things that we thought we could do that would not have a noticeable impact by the public or by our recreationists. That's why we thought about shifting production. We could close a hatchery, but try to maintain 85% of the reduction on this facility. That's the calculus that went behind it. But obviously, as you go through and pick through these, each row on a spreadsheet has a story, and so it's pretty neat for me to sit and hear the commission look at this list and realize there's a story behind every one of these rows. The second thing I'll maybe explain is just very quickly, Commissioner McIsaac's amendment to Commissioner Graybill's motion said to move these items to the maintenance level. That would be an inappropriate spot to place it. It would go into the maintained services of a performance level budget. So just as we understand and how we're operationalizing this, that's where it would, that's how I would interpret it, and it is where the funding would be parked. Another technical item is that when we rack these numbers, I believe all of these numbers that sum to $2.4 million were in direct costs. This is a stage. This list was developed when we were going through and identifying program cuts out of individual programs. And so the amount of money here, if this were to shift forward, that $2.4 million, it might shift forward as a $3.2 million, and that's just back of the envelope math on the fly, but I just wanted to make sure folks were aware of what that does as far as the request going forward. Finally, I'll go through each item. I'm not going to discuss further with Natchez Hatchery. We've discussed that extensively. The triploid trout purchase has already ceased this year. That was one of the budget balancing decisions we made for this biennium. That is something that if folks want to have us move forward, that one I could see that's an opportunity item that we could certainly include.
Let me speak to that, if you don't mind, because that's one of the comments I was going to make. I think that's, from my view, and I don't know all the particulars of data that you had on the backside to come up with a recommendation, but having been in the marine business for 40 years and selling a lot of boats, in the last few years we sold $12 million worth of them every year. That's a draw for people. To eliminate that is false economics. Now, Dave, he's busy talking. Most of those triploids are planted in lakes in eastern Washington. There's a few planted in lakes in western Washington. But in my past life, and as a boat dealer and dealing with the public, the customers that found an opportunity to catch a large trout like that, very, very appealing. And they would travel from, I did a lot of business in Whatcom, Skagit, Snohomish County. People would read about that in the pamphlet. They would, after the commission adopted a budget, frankly, there'd be a list that shows what lakes they're going to be planted in. It was a significant amount of interest by the public. And I know people coming in, customers coming in, talking about it. Next thing you know, they planned a week over there at Lake this, Lake that. Hotel, motel, reservations, and buying licenses. It's hard for me to grasp that that is not a positive cash flow for the state. I can't get there, to be honest with you. So that's the one that bothers me more than anything. Question. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. I know you're going through these, but just so I get my categories correct here, and this is obviously the first time I've gone through this, and there's a lot of different categories for somebody brand new. On slide 33, there's a maintain and an enhance column, and that's the way I've been looking at it, is maintain, and the enhancement thing is separate. So when I use the word maintain, I'm adding, in my mind for this exercise anyway, 2.4 to the 30.5 million that's listed as a maintain status quo thing. So if that's not the right category, this amendment was intended to get it into the status quo zone. And if you don't have zones in your categories yet, maybe that's a way for me to...
And this is where Commissioner McIsaac just... We're really in the weeds of the Office of Financial Management and budgeting terms here. The term I heard you use in your motion was maintenance, and it is a maintained services, how I've calculated on that sheet, and it's technically a performance level request. And so I'll just, okay. I know what you mean. I just wanted on the record where our central budget staff will park the funding, and we're on the same page. I can get over the nuance of the term.
Okay. Mr. Graybill.
Comment on the AAA deal, Larry. I think we're getting more mileage out of the statewide derby. I hear more buzz about that. The statewide derby that the department is doing now over the AAA, because there's 700,000 AAAs that are scattered throughout the entire state.
Well, I think where you're missing a boat, David, is the people travel from the west side of the mountains to the east side of the mountains. I just want to make sure you know that. That's a big draw, those AAA trout on the east side.
The majority of them are planted over here.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, it is.
It wasn't true the last time I looked, but go ahead.
But we didn't even plant them last year.
The year before we did. I tracked it
Thornburn
really carefully.
Pointed out, and we got through the season without a bump, and in fact it was replaced by the statewide derby. Has been very successful.
Well, we agree to disagree on that one. So, any others? Nate. Oh, excuse me. Commissioner Holzmiller. Jay. I forgot your name here for a minute. Apologies.
Okay, I can almost feel the eyes rolling in the room before I go into this diatribe. But anyway, what Mr. Kelly did last week by going up to Northeast and addressing a WOOF issue is going to be a hell of a lot easier now to look Joel and Shelley and Jacqueline in the eye and ask them for help on a budget. There's a whole bunch of issues. The Pinniped deal comes right to the top with me. I know it's not out of our jurisdiction, but if nothing else, at least put a letter out saying in support. If we put some of these campfires out, I honestly think we can look legislators in the eye and ask them squarely for money. And here's what we've done. So I know it isn't solving the budget, but it would sure make it a lot easier for Akel and Nate and those people to go there when we put out a bunch of campfires for people. So I know it's nuts, but that's the way I feel. Because there again, when people are mad, I hear legislators all the time. But if we can just do some small gestures that we hear people, we're not tin-eared, that it would make life a lot simpler come budget time.
Okay.
Just going through the rows here for clarity. The IT efficiencies, there was actually five FTEs in this. Three were of the nature I described yesterday, where they were individuals that were helping staff with their desktop or IT issues, and now we have software that you can remote in. There was another position that was brought on, I think probably a couple, 3 years ago, to help review all of our IT vendor contracts and consolidate and look for efficiencies. That person has done that. We've saved quite a bit of money, and we've kind of worked that person out of a job. And so that was the salary for that position was one that was identified here. I don't recall the fifth position. I'm looking for a lifeline from Joe. And Jaleel's not in the room. So anyway, it was another position of that nature in IT.
Mr. Chair, thanks. Yes. It had to do with setting the framework and the policy framework and complimenting the other person who worked himself out of a job.
Okay. The habitat monitor, there's two positions in the next row of habitat monitoring and restoration reduction. One position is an individual that helps coordinate volunteers to do ecological integrity monitoring on our wildlife areas. I believe the wildlife program is looking at that coordinated effort is something that we can do probably through our professional staff rather than having coordinated through volunteers. And so that's where it was landed on this list. And then the restoration reduction had to do with a position that works here in Western Washington, restoring South Sound prairies primarily on our wildlife areas. So that responsibility would be picked up by existing wildlife area staff, and that individual is planning to retire. The reduced volunteer grant assistance would reduce the amount of money that we release through contracts to a variety of volunteer partner NGOs and other groups. This would take us down to the level that we were at, I believe, last biennium. So we've been at this level before. This funding is of a flexible fund source, and I believe the fish program was going to try to use it to sustain hatchery production. And then the last item is pretty self-explanatory. It had to do with really the fish app that replaced some of the printed pamphlet production. So I hope that's helpful.
Mr. Thorburn.
So I'll just add something about the habitat monitoring and restoration reduction position. I actually, I'm very supportive of citizen sciences. I think the commission knows I talk about it a lot and am involved in it. I actually was on the ground floor with that attempt to recruit volunteers for ecologic integrity monitoring. Great idea. It seemed like it kind of fell on its face. And I think as our staff have moved forward with EIM and actually raised the level of complexity because of the need for the data that will work for this program, it doesn't work as a volunteer program. And that's what was identified.
Do you have something?
Nope.
No. Okay, we have an amendment and a second by Commissioner McIsaac. Regarding that amendment, I'm going to call for the question. We might have to go to hands. We'll see. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion does not carry. So now we move back to Commissioner Graybill's motion. Do we need to reread that, Tammy? Because there's been a. You have it.
You could, yeah. You moved to put the Natchez Hatchery back in the other list.
Okay. Regarding that motion and second, all those in favor say aye.
Just to clarify, the other list is, again,
The performance level maintained services.
Maintained services, performance level. Okay.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I think it would still turn to the operating budget and to see if there's any changes to any of the proposals in either the maintenance level asks or any of the performance level that has the at-risk and buyback or enhancement of services.
Commissioner Thorburn.
I would move to approve the fiscal year 2019 to 2021 operating budget, including both the maintained services and enhanced services as submitted.
Do we have
or with the with the amended,
Commissioner Baker, was that a second? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Commissioner Kehoe, and then
I will be voting in favor of the motion, provided that the commission does have some flexibility, particularly, and I thought Commissioner McIsaac did a very good job. There's a lot of unknowns regarding, you know, the Chinook increase in production around the southern resident killer whale, and just so that you know, I'm on record that the commission, the department, has some flexibility to modify that aspect of the budget. I think that's what I heard yesterday, but if you could nod your head or confirm, that would be helpful.
Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Kehoe, what I would anticipate what will happen with the killer whale funding is the task force will provide their recommendations to the governor. I suspect that the governor's office will come back to the agencies and ask us to scramble to submit a decision package that would include the highest priority funding items. So it probably, I mean, it's something we would keep you informed of. This has happened to us last year with the supplemental budget. It happens from time to time, but and I think this is a really good thing. We just don't know what the numbers will be because we haven't seen the task force recommendations.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. So this is my first time through this, but I guess I'm a little confused here with the motion. So are we talking about including in this motion the strategic enhancement decision packages?
We are.
Okay, so it's not just the other one. Okay, well, let me just make one comment on the other one, and then I guess I'll try another amendment here. On the first part, which I've been calling the maintenance, the status quo part, again, it's my first time through this, but to put these categories out here that are called maintain, they're really the at-risk parts. If there's not maintaining, these have been identified as the $30 million worth of things that are at risk. And as a policy decision of the commission here, it's a matter of, you know, are these the lowest priority things that ought to be placed at risk, or are there some other things that are actually lower priority that ought to be placed at risk? In the discussion about the OMAC and Natchez hatcheries, I was wondering whether or not those should be in the at-risk category or should be deeper into the protected category that aren't at risk. And, you know, I had some of the same questions about the Chehalis, or the Chelan hatchery, and the Hump Tulips hatchery. And I'm just not able to make any judgments on things that are at the bubble because the information isn't there. And this is my first time through the process. We had a briefing in June, and we had a briefing now. And in between there, things that are on the bubble, I know staff made the offer. We can talk more about the bubble, but it's a little bit too late, really, in this process. I'll just note that it's a little awkward for us to make policy decisions on relative priorities when we don't see things that are on the bubble to look at. With regard to the enhancement package and the southern resident killer whale, part of this, and I'm going to tie this also into enhancement package to increase fishing opportunity, where there was $1 million worth of hatchery increases. I'm going to propose in a moment a motion that would increase the amount of enhancement money that we would request for fishing opportunities, and to identify an amount that would be put forward as a request for the killer whale increased Chinook hatchery production component. And so why would we do that here at this table? Why wouldn't we just let the task force do that and then come back in a scramble mode later and try to be appraised of it, but really be out of the decision loop, be out of the recommendation world on that? I think that it is an appropriate thing for this body to make a policy recommendation on how much to go for in terms of southern resident killer whale prey enhancement. If we don't do it, then who does it? Who at the task force is going to do it? And there's so many policy judgments in all of this that I think it's appropriate for this table to start the ball rolling on that. And there are policy judgments in whether to go big or to go small. There's policy judgments into whether to where to put the fish. Where can you make sure you have the highest level of protection on wild fish? And where to put things at risk. So, again, I'm kind of new at this, so I guess, Tammy, what I'd like to do is not do the paper thing. That's kind of our backup. And if we could put up on the board the language that amounts to a proposal, I'll explain a little bit of it before I make the motion. The essence of this is to have an additional enhancement package beyond the ones that are listed here. And it would be for enhancing hatchery production.
Are you making this?
No, I'm just explaining where this is going to go while she's bringing it up.
Right.
It's going to subsume and take out the $1 million hatchery proposal in the fishing opportunity. And it's going to take out the increased Chinook hatchery production, and it's going to replace that. So the intent of this motion when it comes up is to do that, is to have a separate package called Enhance Hatchery Production. And it's going to accomplish three different purposes.
My question, Commissioner McIsaac, is this an amendment to Mr. Thorburn's motion?
When it comes up, I will be proposing an amendment to the motion.
Okay.
The essence of that amendment is going to be to add an enhancement package, which I understand was part of the motion. And so it would be an amendment to that motion. And again, there's a little difficulty here, but I think that if there is an additional enhancement package that's called a hatchery enhancement package that the legislature can look at, that maybe they might act favorably on it. So I would move to amend the motion that the commission include a separate budget proposal for salmon hatchery enhancements to be funded from the state general fund, except as noted below, where federal funding would be sought. The salmon hatchery enhancement proposal has three elements as follows. First, a conservation hatchery. Funding is to be included for conservation hatchery facilities on the Stillaguamish River in cooperation with the Stillaguamish tribe. The amount of general fund support for this element is to be determined by the director after consultation with federal officials on the federal funding to be secured as part of the Pacific Salmon Treaty Agreement with Canada. Later, I'll explain where that might be the majority of it. Two, funding to be included for the primary purpose of enhancing Chinook salmon abundance for the benefit of southern resident killer whale recovery, acknowledging that there will also be secondary fishery enhancement benefits. Table 1, which we'll get to later, lists target release numbers of fish for planning purposes, and that table will show 30 million additional Chinook. The director is tasked with determining the cost of increasing the release of Chinook salmon smolts and the amount to be included in this decision package as a general fund request. And later when you see Table 1, you'll see 50% of it federal, 50% of it state. 3, fishery enhancement funding is to be included for the primary purpose of enhancing fisheries, acknowledging there may be a secondary purpose of ecological benefits. Table 2 below lists the target release numbers for planning purposes. This is for coho salmon. The director would be tasked with assessing the cost of this element and including it when this is all due in mid-September. This budget enhancement package would subsume and replace the $1 million for hatchery enhancement in the staff proposal under enhanced fishing opportunities category, as well as the hatchery enhancement element in the staff placeholder for the Snake River, or the Southern Resident Killer Whale Recovery Decision Package. Now, Table 1 and Table 2 aren't shown here, but they go into the details of... They go into the details of $30 million for Puget Sound and $20 million for the Columbia. That's not very readable. So, Tammy, let's revert to the paper copy, and I'm going to withhold going through the tables in detail because there might not be a second for this. And if there isn't, then it won't go anywhere. But again, I feel like this is the time, while we're proposing our budget, to do this kind of thing. So without a whole lot of explanation, let me just draw your attention here to Table 1, which is Chinook Salmon, and it shows Puget Sound, 30 million fish in dead-end bays with minimal risk to wild fish, 50% federal and 50% state, as a proposal that would leave this table if it would pass. For the Columbia River, stream-by-stream area where there are minimal risks to wild fish, and wild fish population areas have been avoided that I could speak to later, $20 million. And again, I won't go into any further detail until there's discussion. Table 2 is for coho, salmon, hatchery enhancement. Columbia River facilities of $5.5 million. And that is the motion, and if there's a second, I'll speak to it.
Mr. Holzmiller.
I'll second.
Okay. Well, I think I'll speak to this because I have a little bit of background in it. Thank God Ron taught me a lot here over the years. But we are at extreme risk. Just in the industry that I was in, there's 950 businesses in the state, and there's a lot of other peripheral businesses around that are totally at risk based on a number of things that are on the screen, one of which is a Southern Resident Killer Whale thing that could be so draconian it's not even imaginable, the jobs it would cost and the economic risk to this agency and its employees. And I couldn't be more serious about it, so I fully support this motion.
Let me speak to these tables in just a little bit more detail so you can understand some of the rationale here, and then I would be glad to field any questions on it. First of all, why 50 million? Why that number? Well, the National Marine Fisheries Service had sent out some informal information that they were looking at 50 million additional hatchery Chinook as a number that they felt would make an impact on, a significant impact on the prey base for killer whales. So that's generally where the number came from. For Puget Sound, you'll see the Deschutes River Hatchery and Squaxin Pen Complex with a genetic strain that's local to that area. There's never been a native strain there, and that's what they've been using in coordination with the Squaxin Tribe to do that. So this would be if this would pass, this would be something that would come from this commission as a proposal to those people on the task force, as a way to start the discussions there. And if it survives, it would be something to the legislature to ask for money. How much money? We leave that up to a scramble between the director and the staff to fill in whatever it costs to get to this number of fish and put that in as general fund money. Let me just quickly, Vice Chairman, just run through these. Orcas Island eastbound bay pen. So again, this fits the model of a dead-end bay. This one happens to be right at the breakfast table of the orca. Orcas Island, and there's a freshwater source there that will draw fish into it. It's a perfect bay where there could be a terminal fishery in cooperation with the Lummi tribe. There's been net pens there in the past, it fits the mold. Agate Pass Bay, another spot that fits the dead-end bay. Southern Hood Canal, again, these are spots designed so that there'd be minimal impact on wild fish. I can run through the Columbia River hatcheries again as well, but I did not propose anything for the Hanford Reach because there's a strong wild population there, and we don't need any more hatchery production to compete with them. I didn't propose anything for the North Fork of the Lewis because there's a strong wild population there, and we don't want hatchery fish on top.
I'd like to ask one question of you or Ron Warren. Under the Chinook piece, Ron, I guess, previously I talked to, I think, Don or others about Samish. Is there no additional contribution that that hatchery could make at this time? Or is there an impediment there? How many impediments do we have there, I guess?
Vice Chair Carpenter, thank you. Ron Warren, Fish Program. By the way, welcome, Director. I don't have all those details. We have bounced around with Samish production over the years. I believe that with some of the capital improvements that we've made at the facility, we're going to have capacity to increase our production. Part of the decrease has been infrastructure because of the need to mass mark all the fish and the inability to get our hands on everything to market before release. So those are some details of the proposal motion that Commissioner McIsaac's made that we're going to have to investigate quickly and come up with the list of items that we're going to need to fulfill this and dollar amounts.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that the governor had Samish on his list that he came out with a few months ago. We can check on that. I believe that was the case. Okay. Go ahead, continue. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm essentially ready to field any questions for clarity there might be on them.
He's impatient.
Yes.
I am all in favor of trying to increase our hatchery. Don't get me wrong about that. But, you know, what I see here is just half-baked. It's numbers, a wish list of numbers of fish to produce, but at what cost, and seek federal funding. You know, this is, you know, a nice wish list, but I just don't know how real it is. I think the numbers that you have generated that might make a difference. I mean, I appreciate the fact that there's 5 million fish for the Kalama River on your list and things like that, but I don't know if that's based on any real numbers of carrying capacity for the... I just don't know. There isn't enough information here for me to make a decision, and I think we might look kind of... It would be questionable to throw that.
Mr. Vice Chairman, as we go through these questions, just to help people understand this, I'd be glad, I would appreciate the opportunity to respond. So in terms of a wish list, I would say this is a proposal. You know, this has got to start somewhere. A month from now, there's something due to the legislature on what to put in the budget. And so that's why this is coming up now. The design of when this comes before us is a timetable that we're faced with.
Yeah, right.
So, and in terms of the carrying capacity of the Kalama River and the rest of these, this is not just a random thought, and those kind of questions have been thought through. And if we've got an expert here from the staff, if you have any questions about whether or not there's any frivolous, unthought-through proposals here, but I would offer that that's not the case.
Mr. Thorburn, Commissioner Baker, Commissioner Keeney, and Commissioner Holzman.
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac, for keeping the urgency of this situation in front of us. Especially looking at the tables, I feel that if we were to pass this as submitted, we're really moving into management and away from policy. I think that to put forward perhaps for the placeholder one that we have for in both maintenance and enhancement for the killer Southern Resident Killer Whale Task Force requests that come forward. Perhaps as a principle, we say that it should be no less than 15 million fish produced in the hatcheries in partnership with federal agencies and Oregon. That would be more at the level we should be functioning. I would, rather than deliver it, you know, and I know you have a lot of expertise in this, but I don't. And I would feel uncomfortable saying, staff, these are the ones where I want the production to happen. That, to me, is a management decision. And it's one that should be very thoughtfully worked through in a systematic fashion that looks at the entire system. And that's why I have staff to bring these things forward. And so, as I said, I would be more comfortable if this were delivered as a principle for those budget items in the maintain services and enhance services, and have staff actually bring forward how that's going to be carried out.
Response, Mr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I think that's a legitimate perspective, and in the event that this motion fails as a more detailed one, I would probably support that kind of a general thing. You brought up the Oregon one. So, again, just to demonstrate that there's been a lot of thought into this, when the executive order came out and there was a commitment to please come forward with ideas for enhanced hatchery production, the idea of Willamette Spring Chinook being on the list came up. In fact, they're on the list of stocks that have the genetic strain that fit the migration pattern and the timing and the rest of it. And so I have spoken with both the director of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, the regional director of the National Marine Fisheries Service, and the governor's office about whether or not some kind of harebrained idea like this ought to be excluded right away, and the answer was no. But the state of Oregon's governor's office probably would be very interested in participating, and the Washington governor's office was encouraging that, depending on whether or not the Fish and Wildlife Commission policy body felt like that was a good idea. And I said, I'm not proposing it as a single person. I said, if I brought this to this body, is that something that is so outlandish that I should not do that? And none of them said, no, you should disqualify that idea. And so that's why some of this detail is on here, and I didn't come forward and just say, 50 million Chinook, go find them wherever you want, some of the coho hatchery business, because the next question would be, well, where could all of these go? We can't do anything until we know more about that. We need to know more about exactly who's going to fund what. Would the Oregon, you know, all of those questions. And so this is a proposal to get that thinking going. If it has too much detail for the commission to accept, then that's a policy judgment for this table to make. If there's less detail that people would be more comfortable with, that's a policy judgment. If this commission doesn't want to be involved in the idea of pushing this forward, that's going to be the will of this table if it happens. But I didn't want this to fail for not trying.
Thank you, Commissioner Baker.
Can you catch me on the rebound?
Okay. Commissioner Keeney.
I do appreciate your knowledge in this, Commissioner McIsaac, but I have to cite a little bit with Commissioner Thorburn. It's too much, and I don't have that base knowledge that you have. I don't know if this is coming out of Fish Committee. I don't know if it's coming out of your discussions with governor's offices. I mean, I guess it is coming from there, but I don't know where this lies with staff. I don't know so many things I don't know. I would have trouble voting for this. It's kind of coming late, and that's okay, that doesn't mean it's not have, doesn't have merit, but it's we've been in this budget process for how many months now with how many people participating and how many presentations, and to get this at this point in this discussion seems troublesome to me in the process, you know, and I would, you know, quickly digesting it, if it was simple, simply said, let's look for 50 million fish and not tie it so specific, I'd have more comfort in it, because I don't know if that's the right place for this to happen. I don't know. We haven't had a chance for staff to respond, to look into it, to dig into it, to spend some time on it. So I guess I'm a little uncomfortable, as is Commissioner Thornburn.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I will say that's an entirely legitimate perspective. In June, it would have been better for this to be exposed in June, have the staff analyze it. Now we're here in August and take a look at it. In June, this agenda item got scuttled out the door before we even finished the briefing. So, and I'm new at this process here, but I would say, yes, it would have been much better for an idea like this to come out in June, but the agenda item ran out of time before it could. And now this has to go somewhere by September. I'm not exactly sure when the task force is going to, someone's going to say, hey, if you're going to be done by the end of the year here, and the legislature's got to look at all this stuff, I presume September's the deadline, so all of a sudden it's on us. And so it was really my only opportunity is now or never. And so I felt like, again, I would not be fulfilling what I thought I was signed up to do, to just say, well, we'll just leave it up to somebody else.
Yeah, last time I looked, this was paper, not stone. Nothing's chiseled in stone. And there again, I would lots rather have this, and I mean, there's nothing on here that you're willing to die for. I mean, as far as if this, now Ron can go down through there, this might work, this won't work, this may work. We can go through and do it. As far as having this proposed from us, run it by the professionals, I'd feel a lot better about this than I would having a staffer from the governor's office say, here's what we're going to do. So there again, I mean, if you feel free to tell Ron that, you know, we've got lots of flexibility, this is our Christmas wish list, if we can pull off what we can. And the one thing that I really liked seeing in here, you incorporated a couple Indian tribes in here. And any time, because there again, in our part of the world, if it wasn't for the Nez Perce, we wouldn't have near as many fish in our part of the world. And we've worked hand in hand with them. So, no, I couldn't support this more strongly myself.
Mr. Baker?
I especially agree with the last point that Commissioner Holtzmiller made. The nice thing in looking at this is that somebody on our commission took the time and put together a piece of paper with a wish list on it, especially one that includes partnering with tribes and nearby states. I would like to ask if Commissioner McIsaac would be willing to delay the vote on this until we can get a briefing from our staff and possibly an opinion from our director, because I probably less than any of you don't know. I was uncomfortable with the fairly paltry amounts both in our small budget and our large budget for salmon recovery. Said that yesterday. I don't know if we're talking general fund here, if we're talking capital budget. I don't know the funding sources for what this is going to cost. I remember yesterday we heard that Deschutes River, that could be $25 million in capital expenses. That's the first thing on the list. We could be talking about $200 million or $500. And so that's a little too nebulous for a budget item. Now, it's not too nebulous for a policy item. So an alternative, if you're not comfortable with giving us a couple of weeks and having a special conference call, which would be my proposal, to hear a more clarified version of this, is that we could somehow put this in a document to transmit to the task force and say, this is what Fish and Wildlife would like to do. Well, that's what we could do, though. We could interject it, and that would get over Commissioner Holzmiller's concern about this working from our paper or working from somebody else's, which we all know what the preference is. So that's how I feel. This isn't a budget, and it's hard to vote for a budget with a piece of paper attached to it that isn't a budget. And so didn't say very much of consequence there, but that's my feelings.
Mr. Kehoe.
I can hear my friend Butch Smith kind of in my ear saying, you know, we need to get our hatchery production up to where it was, 20 years ago. And you'll recall that a lot of the cuts have been made because of funding, not necessarily because of hatchery improvements. I know. So just so I, and bear with me, Nate. So the enhanced request asks for $1 million for increased hatchery production, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I don't know what that translates in terms of actual fish numbers. Is that in the document somewhere? And I don't really need to know that, but my intuition tells me that's not going to get us back to where some of our stakeholders would like it to be. I mean, it's a small step, but it doesn't include a to-be-determined number for killer whale, right? That's kind of left open, kind of a placeholder. Okay. And so I think what and I too applaud my friend and colleague Commissioner McIsaac for really digging down and not just kind of having others dictate to us what they think, because I think I agree with you. This is our duty and responsibility. So I agree with some of the concerns that Commissioner Thorburn, Commissioner Baker, Commissioner Keeney, Commissioner Holzmiller. I think conceptually, I'm in favor of this. I think we need to. I think we need to do more on hatchery. The problem is that it's going to make a big ask for general funds even bigger. That's the concern, and how that would play politically, I don't know. And I think I know Commissioner is McIsaac. I don't want to speak for you. You're of the mind that if you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it. And you know, I don't have to go into OFM and meet with Mr. Schumacher and say, "Oh, here's my $80 million general fund." I don't, and you don't either. So, and after this long diatribe, I'm in favor of, as Commissioner Baker recommended, maybe some more thought into this. I would like to see what the ask is and how it might affect our general fund request, because I'm afraid of how this might be received by OFM and the legislature. So I can't vote in favor of the amendment as it is, but I applaud you for your effort, and I agree with, we need to go bigger, in my view, than just a $1 million in enhancement, Hatchery.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me acknowledge everybody that this is very awkward to come up. As Commissioner Baker said, where's the money? What's the exact budget proposal here anyway? It's not there. And staff would be tasked to go out and come up with a dollar figure, which will be no easy task. So it's awkward. The timing of this is very awkward. So on the other hand, we don't say anything, and let me say that it is true. The tab on this is big, And so I think that's significant. But in this particular climate, with an executive order to go do something significant for killer whales, and with all the press on killer whales right now, if nothing is done, that's not really very acceptable. And I think we have to do something, and we have to do something significant. And if the legislature thinks that there's going to be something good for killer whales to come in that's going to be cheap, they're going to be wrong. And so, you know, if you're going to significantly change the prey base, not 3% and 6%, you know, a starving human in Africa who's on 500 calories a day, and you bump his calorie intake up 6 and 9% and expect that person to be fine, they're not. You know, the hatchery releases in Puget Sound peaked in the mid-90s, and as they grew from about 20 million up to about 60 million, the killer whale population grew as well. And when it got cut by about 30 million, the killer whale population went down. Now, I'm not going to call that's a strict correlation. I'm not going to call that to be science, but I will just say that if it's true that these killer whales don't have enough Chinook salmon to eat, if you want to test whether that's true or not, you're going to have to put a lot more fish out there. And there are places that it can be done without risking wild fish. So if the mood of this commission is that this is too tough to swallow, and maybe I should wait to see if the amendment fails, you know, looking for a more higher level policy direction and using this as some sort of pseudo guidance for the staff to look to bring elsewhere, I think is an opportunity. What I don't understand, though, is when something's due on somebody's desk in mid-September that has a dollar figure for hatchery enhancement purposes, that how that all comes together if nothing happens here today. And, you know, the fishery part of this, I think that when we had some discussions up at the 7400 line on the Wainuchi River, the chair of the Natural Resources was expressing a lot of confidence in this commission and looking forward to hearing what we might have in terms of hatchery enhancements. So, and as Commissioner Holzminder said, I think the climate is good right now given some of the things that we have done at this table. And as far as killer whales go, I don't know how the climate could get any better.
Mr. Baker, then I have a comment.
What concerns me if we push a vote on this amendment today is that the amendment will fail. And it'll fail not because it's not a worthy way to spend money, but because none of us know what's in it. If it fails, then anybody who opposes this increases in hatchery production, and I think as we've all heard since that HSRG vote, there's a bunch, are going to use the fact that it failed as a no confidence from the commission on whether we support increasing hatcheries. And so, and we're not going to be in the rooms where those conversations are happening, and we're not going to be able to say, oh no, we just didn't know what it was. And so I would like to renew my request to get some more information on this before we do something that will, I won't say will, may have serious unintended consequences.
Do you want to respond then?
Just a response. I think that's an entirely legitimate perspective, too, and I would be comfortable with delaying the vote on this and hearing some more analysis. I'm not sure when the conference call would take place, and the longer it goes, how much we're going to hear. I'm sorry it's too late. It can't make the bell in September if you do that. It is a legitimate point, and I don't want this commission to look bad and be mischaracterized in the press that we're against killer whale enhancement because you voted against a motion that I happen to be the one to put forward. So I don't want the negativity. I want this to be a positive. So, you know, I would consider hearing what I've heard here of asking to delay the vote, hearing from the staff an analysis of this, or withdrawing the entire amendment and just going at a higher principle. But on that one, I don't know what ends up happening by mid-September. on the table two business. And frankly, I have difficulty playing all this out so that a budget request comes in, if really the bell rings in mid-September, and if we don't make it, it's not there.
I stated what my position was. I feel pretty strongly about it because I know what the risks are. I've been involved in the fish politics for a long, long time, and I have grave concerns about the big dark clouds on the horizon. I think the comments from everyone here at the table have been very, very good and well thought out and diverse. I guess, Commissioner Baker, I think your point's well taken. The problem that jumps out at me is this issue is, I think, beyond what a conference call could do, because I would expect we're going to be hearing some commentary from staff and probably a lot of PowerPoints. But if that's the only way we could do it, we could do it. But I do want to say this, and I hope no one takes offense to it. But I think we need to all be reminded sometimes that we are commissioners for the whole state. I'm not just a commissioner for Skagit River. Dave Grabo, you're not just a commissioner for Wenatchee. We have to look out for the entire citizenry and resources throughout the state of Washington. And I think this is an issue that is linked to the future of this agency and the fishing industry as we know it. So I hope we'll take that in mind. Commissioner Graybill.
I agree that we have a big responsibility to the state, Larry, and I'm very uncomfortable with proceeding with something that has no numbers. I mean, this is being presented as an attachment to the budget for this year, and all it is numbers of fish. That I'm sorry. I will repeat, I am fully in favor of a serious increase in hatchery production, not just because of the killer whale situation, but because of other needs throughout Puget Sound. But I cannot comfortably make this part of a budget when there is nothing but numbers of fish, not even if the fish are available. I don't know. I have to agree with Commissioner Keeney. There's just too many unknowns.
Commissioner Keeney.
I really do agree with Commissioner Baker on this, and also what was just said, because there are unintended consequences, and I would love to see fish hatchery raised way up. I don't know if that's $20 million, $30 million, or if that makes our total ask for general funds $120 million, but at some point somebody may say, okay, we'll give you that because there's killer whales are in need, but cut out your other $30 million that you're asking for. What other programs get sliced because we haven't had the time to really digest this and to ask staff, you know, what are the numbers? And if the numbers could be so astronomical that this isn't the right approach. We need to preserve the programs we have, and they're doing that, and we need to think about this as well. So it seems logical to not include this in this budget. I'd like to know if we could pass the budget as is today and get more information on this. Could an amendment be done to that budget as passed? If with all the information coming at us, we thought, okay, it's worth it. Is that possible?
Vice Chair, Commissioner Kehoe, yes. We have, I believe our deadline is September 12th to send everything to the governor's office. So we could, or the commission could adopt the budget proposals that have been presented yesterday and provide direction for us to continue to work on this standalone decision package and bring forward some revised estimates on funding. We need to look to see if there's some capital components to this as well as the operating side. And bring that to you in a conference call, or perhaps work to schedule a conference call the week before September 12th, so that then we can just translate everything and get it submitted. So
it seems to me, with everything we've heard, and you're right, it's awkward because we're up against this deadline, and we're asking staff to do, I don't even know if it's possible for you to do that, and the workload that you're already under, but it seems like the best option that I'm trying to Calhoun.
I want to be on the conference call.
Yeah, but I won't be there, so you guys figure it out.
If I may, before I pass to Commissioner McIsaac, and I'll ask the director and all of you at the table, I guess, is this presentation something that you can work with and pull together a something that's more more detailed and more doable and more sellable? What are your thoughts? Yeah, well, evaluating the proposal and coming up with the added information that would be necessary to go forward on a supplemental basis.
Vice Chair Carpenter, I think we could have some real close dollar amounts within a week. There may be some assumptions there that we could also explain on costs that we are unknown about, but got a good staff that are very knowledgeable about what we have to do and what we would have to do. I could pull them together and get it done in fairly short order.
Thank you. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Vice Chairman. So based on all the dialogue, I will withdraw the amendment to the motion, and I would ask that the commission consider asking staff to use this document and prepare something that we could consider in a conference call sometime in early September as a possible addition to our whatever decision ends up being made today. So I'm withdrawing the motion and asking if there's any objection for this going out as a assignment to staff to come up with some dollar figures. And I guess I would say in the first one, presume that 80% of the costs would be paid for under Pacific Salmon Treaty federal monies, and use your best judgment on whether or not the 50% value for federal contributions to killer whale prey is a valid assumption. I'm withdrawing the motion.
Any objections? Hearing none.
No. Well, I guess, so what you're saying is come forward with 20% of 50 million fish production because assured that...
No. Let me rephrase that.
We get this federal funding.
I'm withdrawing the motion, and then I'm asking if there is any commission objection to asking staff to take a look at this, and under number one, the conservation hatchery for Stilla Guamish, where it says in here the we're not sure how much the federal government will pay under Pacific Salmon Treaty business for that, to presume for the sake of their analysis that 80% of the costs will be paid for by federal funds. And under number two for southern resident killer whales. So this is instructions for an exercise for the staff to go through. They're going to have to make some presumption here. And if I'll leave it even further open. If anybody on the staff has communications that can come up with more solid presumptions than that, to please do so. But absent that, because you have to come up with a dollar value for general fund, you have to have some presumption here of the federal contribution, or else this gets stuck in the mud and goes nowhere. So that's just recommendations for the technical exercise the staff would go through.
Ron Warren, please.
Vice Chair Carpenter, Commissioner McIsaac, my apologies, but could you repeat what you said about the killer whale portion?
To presume that the 50-50 cost sharing, where it is indicated on the table, is a reasonable presumption to then say to the legislature, here is a proposal for the legislature to fund. There'll be lots of process to go if the legislature even hears a number. But anyway, that would be the place to start.
Thank you for that clarity.
I'm going to ask one question of Ron while we're... Ron, do you have any knowledge of a timeline when or if the Pacific Salmon Treaty will be ratified? Have you heard anything recently?
I know we're very, very close. But I don't have a final date, Commissioner.
Okay. No. Question was asked because there's a theoretically a big chunk of money for hatchery help there. So, okay.
Yep.
All right, if I may go back. You want the floor?
Yeah. I think still have a motion.
Yeah, we do. That's what I was going to. Okay. Do we need to restate it? Does Tammy want to read it? So we're back on page 4. Very good. We have a motion second. I'm going to call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Same? No. Motion carries. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So that brings us now to the proposal for the recreational license fee bill. This morning, I passed out a handout, and it's displayed here on the screen.
Well, pardon me. Director wants to speak.
The commission has moved the Natchez Hatchery into the other budgets.
Yes.
And then approved the other budgets.
Yes.
It's not clear to me whether we've approved the remaining list of the reductions. We moved one item off, and the other two approved those two.
Yeah.
This was included?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reductions are still there. The only one that was moved off was the Natchez Hatchery.
Right, but I think the motion said approve the maintain and enhance.
Oh, okay.
So we still got some remaining on the reduce that I don't think are covered by a motion, unless the last motion covered the entire package.
I meant to cover the entire package.
Mr. Vice Chair, Director, I appreciate the clarification. This is really important just to kind of get it right and make sure everybody understands. My understanding, the motion was for to approve the 2019-21 operating budget proposals as presented and as modified by the commission, which moved the Natchez Hatchery to a performance level request to maintain those services.
Not recall that language.
Good. Okay, Nate. Thank you, Director. Nate.
So this morning I handed out a table in response to a request from the Commission yesterday to prepare some additional across the board fee increases at some lower rates. And so wanted to just review that with you here. So the proposal that we had shared with you in June and yesterday were two components, either an across-the-board fee increase ranging between 12 and 15% or a surcharge approach. On this table, we've added a 5, 8, and a 10% across-the-board fee increase, which generates 9.3, 12.2, and 4.1 million total in combined with the other components of that fee bill and some of the other bills that you approved just an hour or so ago.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Just as a matter of discussion, I don't have a motion prepared. Oh, wait, Tammy, would you put those 17 other slides up for the motion? And, on the recreational, just as a matter of a dialogue, to start the dialogue on the recreational license fee bill, as I mentioned yesterday, I think the future inflation setting authority for the commission is a good thing to have in there. The administrative fee seems like a reasonable thing. My perspective is not to be in favor of eliminating a 2- and 3-day temporary stamp, to keep that as it's been. And I'm not clear on the multiple fish cards, whether or not if someone loses one in the washing machine, that means that they have to go buy another one at double the cost. So I'm not sure about supporting that one. On the bigger question of a stamp or a across-the-board fee increase. If we're going to, in the future, get into inflation fee setting, as I indicated yesterday, I think that's the same kind of attitude of going small on this. We've got the 5% exercise that comes to $9.3 million or somewhere just under $10 million. And I think filling in the rest with a general fund request is where I'm starting to settle down, but I'm not making a motion. Just wanted to start the dialogue.
Mr. Keeney.
I appreciate that. And I'll continue the dialogue. I had some ideas about this and was talking with Nate about it yesterday. I don't know where it will go, but when I looked at this, and what I felt was I didn't feel you want to have, you know, fishermen think they got the raw end of the deal if you were to raise them too much, or hunters, or whoever. And as I thought it through, I thought, well, if I'm just a low or inland lake fisherman and my license costs $30 and my fees go up 12%, that's $3.60. That's the price of a half, you can buy two beers for that. I mean, it's not much. So just so we keep perspective on this, if I am a maybe one
two beer, beers.
Half a beer. Anyway, you wouldn't notice it at the gas pump. You'd put $3.60 in.
Holtzmiller's beer, not.
Okay.
No, you have.
It's been a long day, and I'm thinking beer. But if you spend $300 and you buy every tag in the book, and you have hunting licenses and fishing licenses and everything, 12% amounts to something that would bother you. So my idea was, yet you have 1-point-some-odd million fishermen and you have 180,000 hunters, and how do you make that all come out fair and create some type of incentive to buy more licenses and buy more tags? So my thought was go with something like about a 12% across-the-board increase with lower amounts. You could go down to 10, 8, and 5, or have some system of lowering that amount of increase for packages purchased. So you could say, we want families to get a better break. They only pay 5% if you buy a family package of licenses. Whatever those packages could be thought through. You have someone that spends a lot of money on all the hunting tags. Maybe they're at 6%. You know, come up with a way to incentivize buying more, and yet the person that doesn't buy much isn't paying a whole lot. So go with a high enough number, and then you're going to say, well, if the number you're really after is 14 million, then you got to go to 12% because you're going to lower that for some segment of the population, which is true. But that's good. That's what we want to do. We want to encourage families to fish. We want to encourage people to buy more licenses, so you give them an incentive to do that. And that was my thought that I left off with and suggest that as an idea to talk about.
Nate, I think you have a thought.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. For that proposal, let's call out one component of we currently already have in statute the ability to bundle licenses, and we do that. We just recently created a Fish Washington package that sold at a discount if you were to buy all the elements separately, and we've seen great sales. So we've seen the concept that Commissioner Keeney described play out, and it's working out very well. We do this with some of the big game packages as well, the way they're structured in licenses. The challenge I see in Commissioner Keeney's proposals and thinking about this in terms of agency request legislation is drafting that up versus keeping the flexibility for the commission or the director to be able to look at those bundles in the future. When we submit agency request legislation, it comes with a fiscal note because this is going to have a revenue impact. And so we need to be able to provide certainty of what the amount of money is, as well as you just approved $60-some million worth of requests. And so we need to make sure that those dollars line up. And so I'm a little bit nervous about what's being proposed on buyer behavior and changing of packages and how many people will move to different packages. It introduces an awful lot of uncertainty. So my recommendation would be to set the, if you pursued an across-the-board fee increase, to set that. But know that we're constantly looking at these types of packages, and we try to bring back
combinations of licenses that offer discounts, in particular for those that are buying multiple products.
Okay. The other part that would be, I think, Jay, that would be most difficult from my perspective is if you're a business that are selling licenses, and in the middle of the season, and you have a family of six that comes in, and I mean the time that it takes and the revenue that they, when you're selling licenses, you're not making money for yourself. You're making money for the state. And I just think it complicates things. There may be a way to do it in the future. I just don't know if it's now. It's a good thought. So I
would, hearing that, I would back off of that and appreciate what you're saying. You continue to look for good packages. But then I think what I would suggest is you figure out how much you want the fee increase to be, whether that's $12 million, $9 million, or $14 million, or whatever it is, and you go with the percent increase, because still, someone buying a small amount, a fishing license, it's even if you're at 14%, it's not that much. But if you're at 10%, it's not that much, you know. And it's going to hurt the person that buys a lot more. But you try to work on the packages that's later to offset that. So I don't like the idea of a $10 surcharge to everybody, because that's not really fair in my mind.
Thank you. Barbara Baker?
I agree with the I like the percentage increase a lot better than the surcharge. What I was wondering, I was trying to think of a way to simplify where you were trying to go. And what if we, and I was also thinking about Don's comment that we're looking at giving ourselves or trying to get ourselves fee setting authority within inflation. But we could go higher this time because it's been quite a few years since there has been an increase, and I think there's a catch-up thing to happen. But what I was thinking is, what if we went with something like 12 or 15%, but have a cap on it so that families buying six kids worth of fishing licenses never pay more than $20 or something? We could lit it, and so that so we would try not to price some of those bigger bundles out of the market.
Commissioner McKaysing.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. When I'm wrestling with this, I'm thinking of the policy question of how much more of our requests should we say we're going to pay for by license tabs or license increases versus how much should we ask the legislature to pay for with general fund. And when I look at some of the income generations here that are in the materials, $1.4 billion for wildlife watching. And so when I think about how much should we ask the fishing and hunting public to shoulder of this need, well, how much of a need is there? And one of the recommendations from the advisory body was to look for more general fund. And, you know, I think even the people in this state who don't go hunting and fishing like the idea that there's hunting and fishing out there. And the people who don't go hunting and fishing that just want to go out and bird and just go out and watch, enjoy the outdoors is a significant part of the population that aren't paying their fair share. So to ask the licensed public to pay more when the other folks I don't think are paying their share to start with makes me think that we shouldn't be ratcheting up these numbers more. And the complexities of putting caps and this and that and figuring out families, just the simplicity approach strikes me as easier. So, but I guess the policy question is, how much really should we ask the fishing and hunting public to throw into this need? How much should the rest of the people in the state of Washington put in toward what they get out of all of this good management that happens by this agency? And that's why I drift downward on the charge, not to mention what we talked about yesterday when the people say, well, what exactly am I getting for my money? And you have to wrestle with that answer. So I would be more comfortable going virtually as low as possible on the increase. I don't know how far behind we are, the real market value, and where that tipping point is where you're driving people away and you actually lose money by going too high. So I'm inclined to take the chance, and I know that's a risk, take the chance and ask for most of this need to come from the general fund based on the rationale that our advisory bodies and everybody else has been telling us.
Mr. Thornburg.
Okay, Commissioner McIsaac, get ready. I'm going to agree with you.
Is the recording going?
Yes. Yeah, I got it right here.
So I really like the idea of kind of setting a general approach to how what proportion of this ask do we want to have our traditional constituents support. I keep going back to the fact that, you know, there really has been no increase since 2011, and so it makes sense that to me that there be some increase because we've heard all about the inflation and that sort of thing. But we've also been hearing that they don't get feel like they're getting their bang for the buck, and that's what we're getting back in surveys. So I just think that it's got to be pretty minuscule. Just kind of the principle, it hasn't been since 2011, so there should be some increase because everything else has gone up. But it should be fairly minuscule, and I think the notion of just kind of putting forward, well, this proportion of the budget should be in the fees and the rest of it should be a general fund ask, is a really good one.
Mr. Graybill, I bet you have a motion.
I am sensitive to what Commissioner Thornburn has to say. I believe we talked about this yesterday a little bit. We are in a period, not so much for the department's fault, but that just taking it from a fishing perspective, what Mother Nature has done to us in recent years, there's good reason, but there is less opportunity when we look in the fishing world. We look in the hunting world, the access is an issue. So we are asking people to pay a bit more during a period when they're getting quite a bit less. And so I am very sensitive to that. I appreciate the budget proposal that Nate and your people have worked so hard on, and I think I believe that Raquel, you know, you're sensitive to the legislature's opinions on these things, and you know we feel good about that. I don't feel good about a 15% increase in license fees. I think even if we said 5%, people are going to not be happy. But I would entertain a motion that is conservative, as Mr. McIsaac has suggested. What do you know?
Thank you, Commissioner Keeney.
Well, I'll make a motion. we get it seconded and get it discussed, and maybe it could be modified. But I would suggest we look at the bottom, that we are going to try to generate total revenue from license sale increases at $10 million, which is about a third of the ask of the $30 million. So we're saying that we're going to do our fair share. You know, that the hunters and fishermen out there are going to be tasked with a percentage. That's going to be somewhere around 5.6%. And that makes us look good because we really took it down to the 0.6%. But it's as low a number as we can get, and yet go to the legislature and say, you know, we looked at it and we don't want to go crazy on this, but we're going to do a third of our ask is really going to come from the fishing and hunting public. So that's the number to start with, and I'd throw that out as a motion.
We have a motion. Commissioner McIsaac.
So I'll second the motion, and then I'd like to make an immediate amendment to it.
Okay. Commissioner Baker, and then we'll go back here to Commissioner McIsaac.
I'd like to check with Nate on the numbers. I like the idea, but if we're going to go for a third of our ask, are we talking about our $30 million ask or our $60 million ask?
Right.
Thanks, Commissioner Baker. I'm happy to try to translate Commissioner feedback into what the action is, but this is one I would be really confused at. I don't know what the next step is. In so much as there's several components that are on the fee bill,
And you also just approved the Columbia River Salmon Steelhead endorsement going forward. It's not necessary. It's new in terms of biennial budget. It's not new in terms of the consumer because they're used to buying it. And so I don't know. Are you talking about $10 million that's just above the – so $10 million is basically a 10% increase on this chart. And that's – then it's very simple to – I can find it. This part that's this fee bill core, this 9.5 million, and it gets $10 million of biennium.
I'm sorry, I was looking at the 5% column.
Uh huh.
Total revenue at 9.3. So I could
round it up to 10.
Okay, so then
round it up to 10 million.
So then
it's just easy to talk about. So we're feet in the foot and the third of the ask of 30 million. But the point is, I'm agreeing with McIsaac that keep it low, but have it be something, and have it be something that's meaningful enough, but that we're hoping isn't hurting sales, and it's a price point that people can live with.
So, Commissioner Caney, if I could just translate into that. So what I'm hearing then is on the bill, then it would be a 5% across-the-board fee increase. And that also then includes that you would also approve the other fee bill components that we estimate at $1.6 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Wait.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Yeah, so I'm not clear about the other fee components. Could you explain again what that is?
So it's our estimate of those four bottom bullets. So the admin fee collected on the next purchase, eliminating the 2 and 3 day temp licenses, so directing people to buy multiple 1 day licenses, doubling the cost of the multiple fish catch record cards. The inflation fee setting authority wouldn't kick in for this biennium, so it doesn't contribute to that. And that's those top three bullets sum to $1.6 million. Of anticipated revenue.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. So I didn't hear the part about the lower end in your motion, and I was going to propose an amendment to add the first and the last. And I don't know what that does to the 1.6.
The 2 and 3 day temp licenses generates about $1.2 million because our estimate is that people that are currently buying those documents are just buying all at the more expensive 1 day license. So it's a pretty crude estimate, but that would really reduce the amount of revenue generated.
So it's kind of a matter of the language of the motion.
Can I just make sure I understand? So if we eliminate the 2 and 3 day temp licenses, that's what's proposed as part of that 1.6 million because people who are buying 2 to 3 day or 2 or 3 days would then buy 2 1 day and 2 3 days.
No. Or they'd bump up to the annual.
3 1 days? Is that a fair assumption?
Commissioner McKay.
Larry, you go to Canada.
Yeah.
You can buy a 3 day license.
I buy a 5 day license.
You can buy up to a 7 day license. The Caldwell tribe.
We're on that issue, I'm concerned about out of state tourists. Yeah. They fly into Seattle, they drive to Westport, they buy a license in Seattle. And then they're lost trying to figure out they got to go buy another license the next day to go on a charter boat again. I mean, that's just, I just think that, again, is a piece of false economics.
Yeah, and if they've come out here to fish the Columbia River for salmon, they're not going to, usually they don't go for 1 day.
No, that's right.
If I'm going to Buoy 10, I go for 2 days.
And I think if there's a net loss by doing that, then we should raise the price of that. Other states are raising the fees for tourists to offset some of this. Commissioner McIsaac. And then
I'm about ready to propose a substitute motion, but if
I will withdraw my motion and allow that to happen.
Boy, we're cruising now.
I would move that the commission for their recreational fee license fee bill to include an across-the-board fee increase of 5% and to include an administrative fee as listed in the top bullet, and to include the last bullet about future inflation fee setting authority being delegated to the commission.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Mr. Baker.
I will support that if that motion comes to a vote, but I'd like to point out that we haven't had a fee increase since 2011. We've taken two of the cost-saving pieces off. We are going to raise somewhere in the vicinity, depending on if you go with the endorsement or not, of $6 or $7, maybe $8 million. And we're going to subject Raquel to going to the legislature with a fee bill, which is a ton of work for very little gain. I think we should get a little more or not do it at all. And I'd also like to point out that I think we're pretty cavalier about general fund fees. You know, I want us to be real clear that even though it is, our issues are important and we're changing our message and this is an issue du jour, and boy, I really feel bad about that orca calf, but she did more for conservation in the state than all the rest of us in ever. But it's not going to be easy, and I doubt if it's going to be possible for us to get what we're asking for now. And so we need to make sure that we have our echo chamber alerts on as we're going through this. So I just don't see sending Raquel over there with a fee bill for 5% to be really worth our time. But I'll vote for it if you want to push it.
Mr. Graybill.
I think I mentioned earlier, we were talking in the hallway about the fact that the potential 12-15% was introduced, and it was covered in Northwest Sportsman magazine, and all of a sudden our NewsLinks page lights up. I don't care if it's 5%. We're going to get all kinds of comment on that if there's any increase. But I understand what Commissioner Keeney is trying to do with this message, and I agree with Commissioner Thornburn, Commissioner McIsaac. We're going for a big ask from the legislature. I think we're more likely to get support from our constituents, the hunters and fishers, if we ask them for a moderate increase. We will take less of a beating in the media, that's for sure.
Any further discussion?
Just so I'm clear, then, if we were to go to this table, and if Commissioner McIsaac's motion passes, then the total revenue then would be $7.9 million, if I can do the math right. Because if you reduce the added income from eliminating the 2 to 3 day licenses.
I'm just wondering what, you know, what that bottom line number would be if the motion passes here.
Yeah, thanks, Commissioner Kehoe. So the 5% across the board increase would generate $4.7 million. Just the admin fee, I'm kind of going off memory here, but I believe that generates around $200,000. And then the future inflation won't occur this biennium. The Columbia River Salmon Steelhead endorsement minus the 300, so it's 3 million plus 7.9 million
okay.
Would be the total revenue.
That's what my math came up with. Okay, thanks.
Mr. Thorburn.
Thinking about what Commissioner Baker has been saying in terms of the effort that's going to be involved in a fee bill, and that I think all of us agree that some proportion of our budget ask needs to be from an increase to the sportsmen or the traditional constituents. What if we set an amount like $10 million and instruct the staff that we have concerns about those two items, the removing the two-day and three-day licenses, and the second one was that report card fee. Then maybe it be done with, you know, not 5%, but whatever that's going to be, but just get it to $10 million with the two add-ons. What do you think of that as an idea of approaching this? And then at least we're saying, okay, we're going to do $10 million of this with an ask of our traditional constituents, but we really strongly feel that the rest of the public needs to weigh in with general fund.
Mr. Keel. Yeah,
so I think then just looking at the table, then you're looking at, say, 8% roughly across the board. That's where the bulk of the revenue would be coming from. So,
Okay, we're back at square one.
Call the question.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. So I.
So is the motion is.
5%.
5%.
With the admin, the reporting penalty for the admin fee and the future inflation component.
Yeah. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. So then, if I understand the next steps then, because I heard a lot of through the discussion, is then to have the balance of the operating budget requests that you had approved in the previous series to be funded by general fund. And the approximately $7.9 million here, total fees, will be in the other two bills. So, okay. And then if I could just make one editorial, Mr. Vice Chair. I don't know if this is my seventh or eighth budget workshop with this body over the past year, but just really appreciate the time that you've taken to learn about the agency's budget, to have a public forum for discussion about our budget, and also just the discussion that you've had yesterday and today. As a kid, my dad was the director of wildlife for the state of Alaska. I've been going to commission meetings probably for 35 years. And this is probably the most robust conversation about an agency budget. And it's not about the budget, it's about the resource. And when you understand that this is where the money is gonna go, is to conservation and for opportunity. So just thank you so much for engaging on this.
Well, Nate, the majority of the thanks go to you and to staff, your colleagues. I mean, you do this full time. We're trying to fill in the slots on a part-time basis, and it's not easy. So thank you for your patience with us,
no,
at least with me. So that.
Before you run off, do you guys check other states and see what works and what doesn't? Because I know personally, we used to go in and buy every damn tag there was. And bear, cougar, whatever. If it walked, we bought a tag for it, probably never having an intention of shooting a bear, but we just bought the dang thing. Then all of a sudden they started getting jacked up pretty high. I quit buying. And when you do those, do you check back and see if the total revenues went up, went down, or what?
It's my daughter's around there.
Yes, Commissioner Holzmiller, we're doing that all the time, both in terms of comparing our sales year to year within Washington and trying to look for correlations of what explains the customer behavior that we're seeing, but also comparing what other states are doing. We're happy to plagiarize ideas on marketing or different types of licensing proposals that we bring back to you. So, yes, we have a very broad search image, and we're actively searching, comparing.
Well, and there again, going forward, you've heard me beat on this drum about marketing. And everybody talks about how expensive a hunting license is. Try go skiing. Try go, how many rounds of golf would this buy you? And there again, living in a part of the world where everybody comes to our place to hunt, that really the bang for the buck, and to explain that, and there again, I mean, it just comes down to basic math. Every time we have a game, we need to buy a game warden or a rig, costs more. So, I mean, just general stuff like that to try and get the message out, I think would go a long ways to the people. Because in all seriousness, when you figure the game wardens and what they're doing and the cost, and, I mean, you have to increase their pay or you're not going to keep them. That's just a general fact. So I guess we just got to keep pounding on this marketing thing and getting the word out, and what they're getting for the bang for their buck would be huge.
Well, I guess in closing, I haven't had a chance to say very much today, so I want to speak.
Thank God.
Well, chair, in the meeting, I want to talk now for about a half hour, you know. But I've changed my mind. Just a reminder, tomorrow morning's meeting is at 8 a.m. 8 a.m.? Meeting adjourned. We'll see you all then. Oh, Bob Kehoe, 8 a.m., yeah, out for the record.
Thank you. Just like today.
Don't come in with your hair wet.
Hit that gap.
Done. Thank you. Thank you. Tons.
You did a good job today.
Oh. Very good.